Do you know anybody that's proud, that's haughty, that's arrogant? I mean, they know it all. They have it all. They don't need a thing. They don't need anyone. They don't even need God, unless it's a God of their invention. What is going to happen to that person? Or what's going to happen to that group of people? Or what's going to happen to the nation that is haughty and arrogant and proud? We'll talk about it today. The city had been destroyed. Their mother had been destroyed. All that was left was one man and two daughters. And they walked away from that city that had been leveled by God. And that night, thinking, how are we going to survive? We've got to raise up a seed. What are we going to do? So the two daughters decided that they would get their father drunk. And they got him drunk. And in his drunkenness, they went into the bed and both of them conceived. One conceived and named her son Moab. The other conceived and named her son Ammon. And this is where the Moabites and the Ammonites come from. Two people groups that will eventually be enemies of Israel. If we were to go to Moab, we would go across the Jordan River into Jordan. If we were to go into Ammon, we would go across the Jordan River into present-day Jordan. When you look at it, what you have is you have Ammon, and then you have Moab, and then you have Edom. Three enemies that God is going to talk about in Jeremiah. As he brings this book to a close, he wants us to know the prophecies regarding the nations that he is going to tear down, uproot, overthrow, destroy, the nations then that he might choose to build and to plant, to restore their fortunes. So you and I have the privilege of opening the Word of God and finding out the future of these people. We've come to Jeremiah chapter 48, and it opens this way, concerning Moab. Now, you might want to write in the margin Genesis 19, 30 to 38, because this is the story that I just told you. It's the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot is the father, and the daughters are the ones that go in to Lot and have these two men. This is what it says, "Woe to Nebo, for it has been destroyed." Now, when he's talking about Nebo here, he is not talking about Mount Nebo. He is talking about a city in Moab. It says, "Kiriathim has been put to shame. It has been captured. The lofty stronghold has been put to shame and shattered." Put to shame. Put to shame. Listen carefully. Our theme all this week is God's words to Barak. And this is what he says, or Baruch. He says, are you seeking greatness for yourself? Do not seek it. God does not want us to seek greatness for ourselves. God wants us to seek his glory, to seek him. God wants us to lay down our lives for him. And that's what God tells Baruch in chapter 45. Don't seek greatness for yourself. I'm going to give you your life. And I'm going to protect you wherever you go. We have a life, and we are to serve God with that life. So he goes on to say, In verse 2, there is praise for Moab no longer. In Heshbon, these are cities in this area now, they have devised calamity against her. Come and let us cut her off from being a nation. You too, madmen, will be silenced. The sword will follow after you. The sound of the outcry from Hornanim, devastation and great destruction, Moab is broken. He's going to bring against Heshbon against them, that city that is right on the border. They are going to be put to shame. Now, what I did in regard to Moab is I went through and I just marked in red everything that has to do with destruction, with calamity, with the sword, with devastation, with being broken. And it says, Moab is broken, verse 4. Her little ones have cried out a cry, have sounded out a cry of distress. For by the ascent of Luhith, they will ascend with continual weeping. For at the descent of Horonim, they have heard the anguish cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, that you may be like a juniper in the wilderness. For, now listen carefully, for because of your trust in your own achievements and treasures, even you yourself will be captured. When you're trusting in your own achievements, when you're trusting in your own treasures, it's because you're seeking greatness for yourself, therefore the treasures, therefore these things that you are accumulating. And you know what? God resists the proud. God resists the proud. We're going to look at that, but not right this moment. So he goes on to say, even you yourself will be captured, and Chemosh, will go off into exile. Now, Chemosh is a false god. And so what I do is I mark every false god with a big I, a capital I, to show that it is an idol. Together with its priests and its princes, they're going to be taken into exile. Their God is not going to be able to deliver them. A destroyer will come to every city in Moab so that no city will escape. The valley also will be ruined and the plateau will be destroyed, as the Lord has said. Give wings to Moab and she will flee away, and her cities will become a desolation without inhabitants in them. Now listen to what he says. Cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently. He is going to use others to judge Moab. And he says, cursed be the one that does the Lord's work negligently. That cursed is the one, and he explains it, to who restrains his sword from blood. If you're holding back, then you're going to be cursed. You see in Ezekiel, and if you can go to Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 10. And this is what he says. I will give it for a possession along with the sons of Ammon to the sons of the east, so that the sons of Ammon will not be remembered among the nations. Thus I will execute judgments on Moab, and they will know that I am the Lord. Judgment comes in order for us to see that we, apart from God, are absolutely impotent. It comes so that you and I can see that our times are in your hands, O Lord. And when he talks about the judgment that comes against Moab is a judgment that is coming from other tribes. It says in verse 11, and this is so important, Moab has been at ease since his youth. He has been undisturbed like wine on its dregs. In other words, there's that accumulation of those grapes or whatever at the bottom of the wine, and it's undisturbed. Nobody's shaken it because he's been at youth. I mean, he's been at ease since his youth. He hasn't had any problems. Listen, it's problems and difficult situations that make you if you turn to God. So listen to what he says. It says he has been undisturbed like wine and its dregs. He has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. He's been at ease all this time, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he retains his flavor. His aroma has not changed. Therefore, the days are coming. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send to him those who tip vessels, and they will tip him over, and they will empty his vessels and shatter his jars. And Moab, now listen carefully, will be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. Now, when was Israel, the house of Israel, ashamed of Bethel, their confidence? Well, they were ashamed of it when they made a golden calf. Remember, when the kingdom divides and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, takes over the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom splits, and Jeroboam, afraid that the children of Israel will go down to worship because Jerusalem is in the southern kingdom, then he makes two golden calves. He puts one at Bethel, at the house of God, and one at Dan. And he says, you're going to be ashamed of those gods, just as Moab is ashamed of Chemosh. Why? Because they cannot deliver, because they are an idol. He says, how can you say we are mighty warriors and men valiant for battle? How can you say that? Moab has been destroyed and men have gone up to his cities. His choicest young men have also gone down to the slaughter. Now listen to how God describes himself again. It's the second time he's done it. Declares the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, I am the king. I am the king of nations. Read Psalm 2 and you'll see that. The disaster of Moab will soon come, and his calamity has swiftly hastened. Mourn for him, all you who live around him, even all of you who know his name. Say how the mighty scepter has been broken, a staff of splendor. Come down from your glory. Sit on the parched ground, O daughter dwelling in Dibon, for the destroyer of Moab has come against you. He has ruined your strongholds. Stand by the road and keep watch, O inhabitant of Arir. Ask him who flees and her who escapes and say, what has happened? What has happened? And then watch what it says. Moab has been put to shame, for it has been shattered. When you trust in someone other than God, you will be put to shame.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
You're in the Bible. And if you're in there and digging out that truth yourself, then it helps you evaluate what you're hearing from other people, helps you understand what you're studying yourself, helps you make those applications yourself. And it's hard to be in there digging that out, looking at it, evaluating it, thinking it through, and not having change.
Discover truth for yourself through the Precept Inductive Bible Study Method.
Have you ever seen somebody that was very prideful and then all of a sudden they're drunk and they're wallowing in their vomit? And you just look down at them and you look in utter disgrace. Here they were so proud. Here they were so arrogant. Now you see them as they really, really are, out of control. Well, this is the illustration that God is going to use about Moab. Now, remember, the Moabites were enemies of Israel. When you go back and you follow the history of the Moabites, you know that they ruled over Israel in the days of Judges for 18 years. When you go to Numbers chapter 22, you find Moab fearing Israel, and they're the ones that tried to hire Balaam to curse them. They're the ones in Numbers chapter 25 that go over and try, because Balaam won't curse them because he can't, because God won't let them. Then they're the ones that send their cute little Moabite daughters over to the camp of the Israelites, and those girls seduce them so that they sin, so Israel sins, so that God has to judge them. I mean, these are a crafty, crafty people. But there are people that have been at ease all their lives. There are people that haven't been tipped over, so to speak, as we read. So in essence, their lack of conflict, their ease of life has become something that has made them arrogant. So watch what he says. Judgment. It says in verse 20, Moab has been put to shame, for it has been shattered. Wail and cry out, declare by the Arnon. That's a river that does one of the borders between that and Ammon. It says that Moab has been destroyed. Judgment has also come upon the plain, on Holon, on Jahaz, against Mephah, against Dibon, Nebo. You realize how hard this is for me because I never got hooked on phonics. And Bet Diblaithim and against Kiriathim, and Bet Gomel and Bet Meon and against Kirioth. And then I can say the next one, Basra, and all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near. The horn of Moab has been cut off. Now, the horn was a symbol of power, and his arm broken, and that was the symbol of his power and his defense. So God just takes away Moab's power. And listen to what he says. Make him drunk, for he has become arrogant toward the Lord. I mean, he's just arrogant. Anyone that does not submit themselves to God, listen to me carefully. Anyone that seeks to change laws, anyone that seeks to reinterpret the word of God when God has spoken very clearly, anyone that uses anything in the scriptures to twist it and distort it and cover their sin is arrogant. Anyone that thinks that they can live the way they want to live against the clear and plain teaching of the Word of God is arrogant. And they will only get away with it for a short while because God has to deal with it. It says, make him drunk, for he has been arrogant before the Lord. So Moab will wallow in his vomit. He will also become a laughingstock. It says, was not Israel a laughingstock to you? You laughed at Israel. Or was he caught among thieves? For each time you speak about him, you shake your head in scorn. You talk to the Moabites, you talk to those people that live across the Jordan River, that live in Jordan, and they're scorned. There's a scorn among those people for the Jews. You've got to remember that the crown jewel, the main diamond, the great pearl, the outstanding stone in the Middle East is Israel. And all the rest of the nations are there simply to glorify the God of Israel. They're doing everything but that. He says, leave the cities and dwell among the crags, O inhabitants of Moab. Be like a dove that nests beyond the mouth of the chasm. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness, his pride, his arrogance, his self-exaltation. And you can see that pride goes before a fall. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Pride is that which made Satan, Satan. And God cannot tolerate pride. He has to bring it down. He says, I know his fury, declares the Lord, but it is futile. His idle boasts have accomplished nothing. Therefore, I will wail for Moab. God is speaking, even for all of Moab, I will cry out. I will mourn for the men of Kirhaz, more than the weeping for Jazer. I will weep for you, O vine of Sibnah. Your tendrils stretched across the sea. They reach to the sea of Jazer until your summer fruits and your grape harvest, the destroyer upon your summer fruits and the grape harvest, the destroyer has fallen. He says, so gladness and joy are taken out of the way. From the fruitful field, even from the land of Moab, I have made the wine to cease from the wine presses. No one will tread them with shouting. The shouting will not be shouts of joy. It was wine that got Lot drunk that enabled those girls to sleep with their father. And now he's saying, listen, all your wine and all your vines, the destroyer has destroyed them. So gladness and joy are taken away from the fruitful field, even from Moab. And I have made the wine to cease from the wine presses. No one will tread them with shouting. The shouting will not be shouts of joy. He says, for the outcry of Heshbon, even to Elah, even to Jahaz, they have raised their voice from Zor to Hornanim to Egleth, I can't pronounce that one, for even the waters of Nimrin will become desolate. Now listen to what he says. I will make an end of Moab, declares the Lord. The one who offers sacrifice on the high place, the one who burns incense to his gods. I'm going to make an end. That's it. He says, therefore, my heart, God is speaking, wails for Moab like flutes. My heart wails like flutes for the men of Kirhaz. Therefore, they have lost the abundance it produces. For every head is bald and every beard cut short. There are gashes on their hands and sackcloth on their loins. Look at them because of their pride, because of their arrogance. Look at where it took them. On the housetops of Moab and in the streets, there is lamentation everywhere. For I have broken Moab like an undesirable vessel. How shattered it is. How they have wailed. How Moab has turned his back. He is ashamed. So Moab will become a laughing stock and an object of terror to all those around him. Beloved, listen to me. What is your lesson for today? Your lesson is you cannot live in pride. You cannot live in arrogance. You cannot live in haughtiness. You cannot seek your own greatness. You cannot throw off the shackles and the fetters of God. He is God, and every nation is accountable to him, not to any other God. There is the Lord, and there is no other. He is Yehovah. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He has a son whose name is Jesus Christ. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Otherwise, they're going to be broken and shattered. So where will you be on that day? You have heard of the pride of Moab. That's what it says in Jeremiah. What about you and what about me? Are we seeking greatness for ourselves? Are we walking in that pride of life that can so easily bring the judgment of God? Oh, beloved, you've got to remember that God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So what is our takeaway for today? What is our precept for life? Well, next to Jeremiah chapter 48, you might want to write down Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 16. And this is what it says. I want you to see these verses in verse 6 and 7, talking about Moab. We have heard of the pride of Moab, an excessive pride, even of arrogance, pride, and fury. His idle boasts are false. Therefore, Moab will wail. Everyone of Moab will wail. Pride brings brokenness. God has to resist the proud. So you and I need to remember that. Remember in Jeremiah 48, verse 29, it says, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness, his pride, his arrogance, his self-exaltation. When you go to Proverbs, and I want you to look at Proverbs 21, verse 4. It says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. God has to deal with pride. And when you are seeking greatness for yourself, when you're created to give God glory, you can't live that way. So then we come to Isaiah. And in Isaiah, we see in Isaiah chapter 13, where he's talking again about pride. Isaiah 13, verse 9. And this is what he says. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. He will exterminate sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises. The moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. God will deal with it. You deal with it so He doesn't have to deal with it in your life.
Thank you for watching today. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.